the expansion. We've been asked to briefly review the directions that were provided in the Act. Ms. Paul will cover the service and program requirements, and then I will speak very briefly to some of the changes in LME catchment requirements.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean, and Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. As Mr. Parker stated, the Act contains specific direction to the Department of Health and Human Services regarding the manner in which the 1915 BC waiver expansion is to be accomplished. Overall, as Mr. Parker indicated, the department is being directed to create a local system to achieve the goals of easy access to care, delivering necessary care, and providing continuity of care to the eligible individuals. Specifically, the session law, the Act provided the department to do the following things. The department must adhere to the PBH demonstration model that in the Act was stated to be effective in operating a public resource system for service delivery. The department must designate a single local management entity or LME to operate to according to one of two models that are designated in the Act, either the merger model, where one larger LME is formed by the merger of two or more smaller LMEs, or by an interlocal agreement amongst LMEs, where one LME is designated as the leader for the operation and the management of all of the waiver functions in that locality. The department must use managed care strategies, including care coordination and utilization management, in order to assist in curbing the rising costs in the state's Medicaid program, at the same time not sacrificing the provision of necessary services and what is also determined to be the appropriate level of services for each consumer. The department is required to phase out the Community Alternatives Program for mentally retarded and developmentally disabled individuals, or what's called the CAP-MRDD program, as well as the utilization management functions that are currently being contracted out. The department is instructed to design the innovations waiver, and that innovations program is defined near top of page 2 in the bill summary that you were handed out. To try to serve the most eligible individuals within aggregate funding limits. The Act also gives the department oversight responsibility over all LMEs that are approved to operate the 1915 BC waiver in order to ensure that the approved LMEs do the following things. And then the list I'm about to give you are the things specifically directed by the Act that LMEs must do. And are you going to discuss that or do you want me to? They have to maintain a local presence in order to address unique community needs. LMEs have to implement a process to allow consumers, family members, and providers and various stakeholders to provide feedback as well as to exchange information. They are also, in addition to establishing that process, they're required to establish a system to allow local agencies to provide care coordination. Department must also ensure that LMEs comply with three specific operational requirements. They must maintain disability-specific infrastructure and competency to address various needs of all the disabilities that are covered by the waiver. They are required to perform certain administrative and clinical functions and adhere to certain clinical standards. For example, financial reporting, quality management, staffing and customer service requirements and standards. And third, LMEs are fully accountable for all aspects of their own waiver operations, and they have to meet all of the contract requirements that are specified by the Department of Health and Human Services. LMEs are permitted to subcontract functions to other entities, but only in seven specific areas that are specifically defined in Section 1A of the Act. With regard to local government limited liability, the Act, under the Act, county governments are not financially liable for any overspending or cost overruns that may be incurred by an area authority or by a single or multi-county program's provision of services under a BC waiver to the extent beyond the extent that those cost overruns or overspending exceed that local program's risk reserve and Medicaid fund balance. The Act also specifically speaks to certain IDD services with regard to targeted case management. Again, that's described at the top of page 2 of your bill summary. The Act requires LMEs to offer to contract for community guide services for persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities during the first year of their operation. They're required to contract with targeted case management providers that were previously approved to provide those services under the prior CAP MRDD waiver. The legislation directs the department by December the 31st of this year, 2011, to complete a feasibility study regarding adding habilitation services for certain persons with intellectual and developmental disabilities who are not currently enrolled in the innovations waiver and also are not residing in an intermediate care facility for the mentally retarded or ICFMR. The department is also directed to discontinue a pilot program to administer what's called the supports intensity scale to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities that are in certain LMEs. Department is required as well to evaluate and to minimize any inconsistencies that may exist between the 1915 BC waiver operations and our current certificate of need laws in the state. The Act directs or requires future General Assemblies to consider reinvesting 15% or more of the savings that are projected from operating the waiver to increase the number of consumers that are served by the innovations waiver or to expand services for individuals who have intellectual or developmental disabilities. As to managed care systems, the department is directed to adopt written policies to align the objectives of the 1915 BC waiver and the care of eligible consumers with other managed care systems, including Community Care of North Carolina. And finally, there are specific reporting requirements that are in the Act that require the department and other agencies to submit a strategic plan regarding the restructuring and expansion and also to provide periodic status reports to the General Assembly regarding restructuring and expansion. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Parker to discuss the local management entities.
Thank you. The bill had actually two major time frames. The first was August of this year, where they were to select LMEs. The department was to select LMEs assessed to meet the minimum requirements. Based on the RFA process, where some LMEs are still involved in, there was a projected 2013 map, and that is what I've created for you above what you would see. The second most important date is January of 2013, and at that point, the department would be directed to either merge or direct an interlocal agreement for any LME that would not be operating a 1915 BC waiver. What you see there in the map there are two particular catchment requirements. The bill made two changes to statute. The first was come July of 2012, a LME's population must be a minimum of 300,000 people. At this point, based on the projected rollout, it is possible that seven may have difficulty meeting that population number. If they fail to meet the minimum population by statute, there is a direction to change the administrative funding rate. By July of 2013, the minimum population of LME must be 500,000 people. And in this case, if they fail to meet that population requirement, their Medicaid and state funds would be reassigned. Of note for consideration to this committee, there's a possible conflict with trying to operate the two. I have identified on the map as A, B, and C, which are Durham, Johnston, and Cumberland County, who at this point have an interlocal agreement to operate a 1915 BC waiver, so they're following the intent of 1916 and running that. But by doing it through interlocal agreement, they are single LME entities who not any of those three would meet the 500,000 population. So it would require some legislative action to either account for whether the LME should be total population within the entity of the LME, or whether LMEs that are operating in this type of agreement would adjust and would be accepted under the statute. Other than that, I believe we've gone from 23 or 22 LMEs presently to, under this model, there would be 13 or 14 LMEs with 12 points of contact for the Medicaid for operation under the waiver. At number 8 on the screen, Guilford County, there's discussion that they may join with Sand Hills, but that is the only one that I don't have accounted for under this model. Everything else, I believe, has been in discussion or is in at least the RFA process.
Do we have any questions before we move on to Dr. Melcher? All right.